Hello, friends. This is the second hour of Out of This World Radio, and today I'm broadcasting from a little town outside Munich, Germany. I've been traveling in England and in Europe, giving presentations in London, Geneva, and Dresden, Germany, and other places. And this Saturday, June 29th, I'll be giving a presentation in Reykjavik, Iceland, between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. in Reykjavik. And if you are in Iceland and would like to come, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. During this part of the show, I'll be interviewing who I call an angelic piano player who plays beautiful music with the help of his angel guides. His name is Yves Ruhlman, and his website is www.musiqueemasinmaryphiehie.com. And his email is yves.ruhlmann@gmail.com. Yves creates heaven on earth with his beautiful music from the angelic fifth and higher dimensions, and I really hope you'll enjoy his interview and music. After Yves, I'll be introducing you to a wonderful healer named Ursula, who lives in beautiful Zurich, Switzerland. She does fantastic healing work with her friends and clients, and I know you'll enjoy listening to her. After Ursula, I'll be interviewing a wonderful healer named Jenny Starr Langraff, who cured her breast cancer last year with prayers and meditation. She lives in Los Angeles, and if you'd like a healing from her, please email her at jennyl310@yahoo.com. She's an amazing lady who's trying to make the world a better place, and I know you'll enjoy what she has to say. Hello, everyone. I have a fantastic healer with me today named Ursula. And Ursula, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, I'm a 64 years old. I'm working as a energy healer, and I have my own system developed and so on. I try to heal not only the body but also energetically the whole system, including the last lives, and yes, that's what I'm doing with my hands and my mind.
Okay, great. So you go in and help people with their past life karma?
Yes, I can. What I offload? I can heal past karmic debts.
Okay, wonderful, Ursula. Well, tell us, how would someone like to contact you for your services? What's the best way to contact you? By email?
Yes, by email. It's it's ugmm65@gmail.com.
All right. Well, I can vouch for Ursula. She's a wonderful lady. And if you do need healing, especially for any past karma, please send her an email, and I know she'll be able to help you. Thank you so much, Ursula, for coming on my show today.
Thank you so much, Ted. Thank you.
Hello, friends. This is Ted, and I'm outside beautiful Lausanne, Switzerland, in a little village, interviewing a wonderful musician called Yves Ruhlman. I hope I pronounced that correct. Is that right?
It's fine. It's perfect.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Yves. Now, what separates Yves from other musicians is that he doesn't know exactly what he's going to play until he starts playing, and he tunes into his spirit guides and angels on the other side in the fifth and higher dimensions, and the music just comes out. Is that accurate of what happens when you play?
Yes, it's totally true. The thing is, it's almost strange and beautiful for me as a composer. I like the music. I see the music as languages, so I have just to connect to my emotions. But after the words that came with music, I don't know how, and I'm just surprised to see and to hear.
Okay, wonderful. Let's play the first piece here, and so my audience can get a feeling for the kind of beautiful music that you perform. Okay, Yves, so how do you do your work, by the way? How do you produce your music?
Oh, this is a good question. I have to say that I'm, first of all, a composer. So I imagine to use the music, as I was saying before, as the languages. So what matters is not, first of all, is not the word we use, the performance we are able to do, the how brave we are, but it is what do we want to express, what is our message, like a water crystal message, the importance of the message. So I am very concerned about what is my intention when I'm composing, what I want to say. Do I want to tell to people to look at me, how much I'm beautiful, how much I play very well? No, this is not an heart intention. This is an ego intention. Ego. Yes. So when we try to get out the ego, we can begin to serve the people and the brothers we are around, we have around us. And so music becomes a wonderful languages to express emotions, feelings, loves and gratitudes in regards to water crystal. And it and the composer, the musicians are changing in instrument, and no more in kind of creator, but just in instruments. So more I can be, more I serve, more I let my ego far away, pure the music is going. So more or less it's how I see the music.
I think what you do, Yves, is that you bring a lot of messages from the angels in the fifth and higher dimensions, and you bring them down here on Earth. So basically, you're creating heaven on Earth with your music. Do you think that's a correct categorization?
That is correct, because if you let your heart to be pure, so you let the life, I mean the life the in whole dimension, the so... all life, the natures, but also the angels and the spiritual world. So I'm never considering I'm playing by myself. I'm always or composing or creating, but I'm always thinking that I'm helped, and I ask this help. I ask that angel takes my abilities, my vulnerabilities, and take it to let message from them.
Okay, wonderful. Yves, what's your website, or how can people get a hold of you for get some of your beautiful music?
Basically, I have a website called musicempathie.com in French languages. There is few things you can listen on iTunes or Spotify, but it's more about the music I composed in orchestral or chamber music, but with writing music. And what I'm doing when I'm playing, using the piano as a tool for composed, is more something I bring in live in live concert, because it's something living. So I'm not the most I made is not record, because I prefer to let it free when it's played. So we can hear the music I've wrote, but it's better to listen to me in concert when in live.
All right, Yves, if somebody wanted to reach you, could you please give out your email so people could contact you?
Yes. So my email is maybe it's better if you said it, you, because my English is not so good. So This is my email.
Oh, no problem, my friend. It's yves.ruhlman@gmail.com. I'll spell it for my audience. Y-V-E-S, period. R as in Robert, U-H-L, M as in Mary, A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy, @gmail.com. Yves, you produce beautiful angelic music, and I'm going to finish up this segment of the program with another piece from your beautiful music. And thank you so much again, Yves, for coming on my program today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ted, and I appreciate it so much to know you are a beautiful person. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Yves. I appreciate it. Hello, friends. During this part of the show, I'll be interviewing a wonderful lady named Jenny Star Lundgraf. Jenny lives in Los Angeles, and she had breast cancer last year until she was able to cure herself with prayers and meditation. During this time, she discovered the priceless gifts of self-love and self-worth in her healing, and she writes that her guides were leading her to a journey of self-healing and awakened consciousness. She writes that they also continue to guide her with life purpose opportunities for her soul to develop and grow. She writes that the collective force of divine light became involved in her life, and they protected her by removing toxic or traumatic people or situations and helped her heal. Today she's cancer-free, and for people who'd like to contact their guides or perhaps get a healing, Jenny can really help you in find inner strength and for healing. If you like, please contact her at jennyl310@yahoo.com, or you can phone her at area code 310-980-7455. With that, I hope you will enjoy her beautiful interview. Hello, friends. I have a wonderful lady named Jenny Star Lundgraf, who was the CEO of AR Realty, a real estate company in Los Angeles, and now she's on the path of serving her life purpose of raising consciousness and making this planet a better place. She just recently returned from a trip to Egypt. She'll be talking about her spiritual experiences there, followed by the book she's writing now, and also too some personal challenges she's had with tumors in her body, and what she's learned from that, how to protect herself and make her feel better. Anyway, Jenny, thank you so much for coming on my show today. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Ted. Thank you so much for having me, and it's lovely to be with you today.
Good. Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. Tell me, now you just recently returned from a trip to Egypt. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Yes, I was, first of all, it was amazing. I went with Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot. Mm-hmm. And so Egypt led the tour. I would say that it's probably one of the best trips that I've been on. There were 26 of us. It was a big group, but it was a good sized group. There were a lot of great people. We had a lot of fun. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And when I first arrived in Cairo, it felt like our timeline shifted. The days felt incredibly long. We were there for only one day, and it felt like we were there for a month. So who knows, right? Everything could happen in Egypt. I must apologize for my voice.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Yeah. Take your time. Have a glass of water.
Yeah. Well, it's been doing this all day, so it looks like I'm being worked on at the most inconvenient time.
So that's okay. Just take your time. No worries. This is really interesting.
Okay. Thanks. So the energy of the place was unbelievable. It was incredibly strong. When I first got off the plane, my knees were trembling uncontrollably because the power of the area was so intense.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Cairo sits on this giant vortex, and I didn't know this until Carrie told me. So what I experienced was something she felt the first time she visited Egypt as well. Mm-hmm. So we were there for a total of 10 days. We sailed the Nile. We went to Abu Simbel, Zakara, Karnak, mm-hmm. Luxor, Valley of the Kings, the Giza Pyramids, the museum, and other sites that I don't remember at the moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So the first day we went out, we took a private tour to see the Sphinx at sunrise, mm-hmm. and it was pretty spectacular. We had the whole site for ourselves. And so we spent quite a bit of time there. Excuse me. And in the evening time, we went on another private tour to the Giza Pyramids. And it was full moon that night. And I'm not sure whether it was planned that way or whether it was accidental, but the full moon sure made it more dramatic and added, mystical to the place. Mm-hmm. So we got to go inside of the pyramid, and that was pretty cool to see and experience. You know, this is something that, you see on TV, right? Never really experience it for yourself. So it was pretty cool. So the shaft of the chambers were really small, but luckily I'm a petite person, so I didn't have much trouble getting there. But for the taller people, they had to crawl on their hands and knees. But it was mm-hmm. definitely well worth the trip. So we went to the lower chamber first, or the underworld chamber, as someone put it, because it was located beneath the ground. So the shaft to the lower room was smaller than the upper ones, and there were a lot of spirits and other things flying around in the lower mm-hmm. chamber.
Uh-huh, wow.
So we could also see orbs and things. So there were just a lot of entities, I guess, or just spirits moving about in the room. It didn't feel scary or anything, but it's certainly not the place where I want to spend my free time.
Sure.
Excuse me.
That's okay.
It was surprisingly hot inside there, but not stuffy as you would imagine. Mm-hmm. Since we were beneath the ground, we thought it might be cooler, but it turned out not to be. And we came prepared, of course, with sweaters and jackets. But we had to put that to the side. Mm-hmm. So we went up to the upper chambers, to the king's room. We had to climb up the makeshift staircase, and we went pretty high up into the pyramid. Mm-hmm. And we were pretty lucky to have had the opportunity to meditate in the upper chambers and a few other sites. That is. I don't know if you know this, Ted, but it is illegal to meditate in the sites in Egypt.
Really? I didn't know that.
So that's what they said. It's illegal. If you get caught, they will arrest you and throw you in jail. So.
Oh, my goodness.
But, I know, right? I mean, you think that you'd be able to do it because you're not hurting anyone.
Right.
Right. But they see it differently. So somehow our tour guide made it possible for us without the risk of getting caught. Mm-hmm. So
That's okay. Take your time.
So okay. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's going on with my voice.
That's okay. You sound just fine. Don't even give it a second thought.
Okay, thank you. So I went on this trip not knowing what to expect, right? And I went without any expectations at all. Mm-hmm. And, I was pleasantly surprised by the synchronicities that we experienced there. I mean, it was not just me, it was everyone. So I guess a few days into our trip, we individually got pressing messages about our particular situation that needed to either be implemented or addressed to improve our lives. So that was pretty fascinating. So for instance, a week before I went on this trip, my guides, who I will call the guardians, the female guardians started doing some work on me one morning. And mm-hmm. when I asked what she was working on, she said, my divine feminine, and told me that I need to get into that energy.
Sure. Wow.
It was, mm-hmm. So it was early morning and I was still sleeping, so I didn't think much more about it at the time. But, I was grateful and trusted that she was preparing me for the next step in my life. Mm-hmm. So while I was meditating in the queen's chamber, the unthinkable happened.
Mm-hmm.
my divine feminine activated, which then triggered my Kundalini energy. And so while I was being activated in there, I felt a lot of love and joy. It was a very incredible moment and experience.
Wow, that's really nice. That's beautiful. Wow, what a special experience. How have you felt since that time? Do you feel do you feel like you've changed? All your chakras are opened up and everything.
Yes, my chakras have been open for quite a few years now, and I mean, I feel great. I feel incredible when it came back though. Because I was going through the Kundalini experience. I was sleeping a lot. I was sleeping 15 to 18 hours a day.
Oh, wow.
Every day.
Amazing.
Yes, exactly. Much needed rest and, you know, all the symptoms that you go through with the pressure of the head and sometimes body ache and, you know, and my voice changes. So that's another thing that happens to me is the changes in my voice. I guess just because a lot is happening and I don't know, I guess we're just going to have to trust it and go with it. Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Have you been able to read minds? Are you able to do like remote viewing and have your psychic abilities increased?
You know what? Something started happening about maybe 8 months ago, and I'm not sure what it is, but when I close my eyes, like, you know, before I, as I'm going to bed, I close my eyes and I see, I have, sometimes I see places, things, people. And last night I saw something a little disturbing. You know, the moment I closed my eyes, I had an image of a guy, a man, I don't know, something with his face. He was peeling off his face or his skin being peeled off or something. It was really gruesome. So I quickly opened my eyes because I didn't want to see that. But so I've been having a lot of experience with that. Like I'm seeing a lot of images, and I don't know whether it's maybe spontaneous remote viewing. Not sure what that is. What do you think that is, Ted?
I think they've upgraded your DNA, and also too, what they've done is that they've opened up your DNA so that all of us have all these powers. Our Earth scientists here, Jenny, say that we have 22 strands of what's called junk DNA, which are, they can't figure out, many scientists unfortunately can't figure out why they're there or what they're used for. But what they did for you when you were in Egypt is that they opened up those strands of DNA, and it took some time because it was quite a shock to your system. And to your body, because you weren't used to that. We were all programmed, they tell me, by the Anunnaki, to become like worker bees, just kind of like work for the Anunnaki. But they dumbed us down so that we wouldn't know that we are powerful spiritual beings. But that's, you're starting to awake, and we're all starting to awake now because the planet is shifting into the higher dimensions.
Yes, it seems so. Really incredible. One time though, I saw an image of people. A lot of people. They were having, I guess they were at a pool party, and I could hear sometimes. And these people were talking pretty loudly, and although I couldn't make out to what they were saying because it felt like I was at a distance. And when I was trying to zoom in, I couldn't. Perhaps I need to refine my skills, right? But I could see it in color, and I could sometimes hear people talking. So that's pretty incredible. I think it's something that I need to develop. Possibly.
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, you're on a very special spiritual path. You are now being upgraded so that you can for the ascension. That's why you were drawn there,
right.
And that's. Yeah, that's why you're on my show today. So, that's all a really good developments. Really good developments. Yeah.
Yes, I think so. So I just wanted to. So So I want to tell you a little bit more about the trip that is that's pretty, you know, fun and exciting for us. So we went to our tour guide took us to the essential oil place in Cairo.
So we were
told that we were going to get a lecture from this man who has X-ray vision and is very psychic. So we were very excited to see him and the service he while listening to his lecture. He was a very fascinating man, and you know, we loved every minute of being there with him. And however, he didn't, you know, he didn't hesitate to point out things about some of the people in our group without naming names. And for those that resonated with what he said, shouted out, "Yep, that's me. That's me." So that was pretty fascinating. And so we were there for a while, and after everyone took turn asking questions, I raised my hand to ask him something. But he quickly dismissed my question and motioned me up to, you know, up to him. So when I got up there, he softly whispered in my ear, "Use your divine feminine when you need to." That brought a big smile on my face. And I thought that was a pretty incredible synchronicity. It was like, how did he know?
Wow.
So can I give a 3-second plug about Egypt?
Yeah, go right ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So if anybody that wants to experience this incredible place, I would highly recommend Kara Caspi at Project Camelot. Thank you.
Okay, that's great. That's great. I know Maria Petrick is also going, bringing in a bunch of people, including myself, to Egypt in September of this year. So if more information on that, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Yeah, well, good. Well, that's great. That's great. Tell us about the book that you're writing.
Okay. Well, the book is going to be about my experiences with the Guardians and their messages to humanity. So I will say this. The Guardians want to see humanity serving their life's purpose, you know, an obvious reason. And they said that before we came here, we signed a contractual agreement, and we each have a role to play. So they want us to get into that position and realize the purpose. We have different tasks, but for a common goal. And so it's very important to them that we get our vibration up and stay in the frequency of joy and compassion. You know, they often tell me that. And, you know, my guides will only respond to me when I am in that frequency, when I'm upset or not happy, they will engage. So I think that's a pretty good way to teach me to always be in that frequency. So they said that most of us get into our, when most of us get into our assigned task and help each other without the attachment of greed or notoriety, we are going to see significant shifts in the world, and humanity will wake up in even more of a rapid pace than we're seeing now.
Well, go ahead. I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more.
Right. So, you know, they said that if we don't already know what our purpose is, they said to ask our higher self or our guides and angels for guidance. We really need to connect with our guides and angels and utilize them in helping us in this forward movement. I found out about my life purpose through the Guardians. Like many of people out there, I never knew what it was until they told me. But they didn't tell me immediately. They first had to lead me on a healing path, a healing journey. So that way, you know, it's as a way of preparing me for my life's purpose. So that was the first. So that was the first thing, is to prepare me to heal. I had a lifetime of trauma and abuse and abandonment. So, because of what I went through, I subconsciously lived in fear, and most of my life, I was afraid of any kind of commitment, and self-sabotage became my coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. So I had to heal the deep wounds, and you know, that I carried around with me all these years, and sadly, all my decisions were made based on old wounds. My life became a perpetual state of rinse and repeat, and I was getting nowhere fast. Mm-hmm. So I was doomed. So, I mean, my life was doomed had I not had divine intervention. Mm-hmm. So my loving guardians wanted me to properly heal before I can begin serving my life's purpose. My life drastically changed when they entered my life. They swiftly guided me to a much-needed healing journey, and it was, you know, it was the first order of business. So my healing journey was a very lonely and arduous process, because I was pretty much isolated from everyone and was forced to live an ecstatic life. I went through a period of releasing family members and close friends, which was a very, very painful process. Mm-hmm. The only way I could fully heal was by removing toxic people in my life that may have been a hindrance to the process. And it was why I had to let go of the people, my loved ones. At that time, I felt punished. I felt, I couldn't understand why it was happening. And it really felt like I was being tortured, because it was so painful. I can safely say now that, you know, it was lack of trust on my part which made it worse, because I felt so alone, and I really didn't think that I was going to make it. So I think if I would have, you know, I would have had a little easier time had I trusted the guardians more. But it was a new relationship, and I felt that trust had to be earned. And so I think you would agree with that. So they've proven to be trustworthy and a very loving and passionate guide. They wanted me, you know, they want to see me happy and safe at the end of the day, which is nice. So during the healing process, I had a huge conscious awakening, and that changed my life forever. Right. So, I'm healed now, and I'm ready to carry out my agreement. Writing a book is one of those two tasks, and the first order of business, as I mentioned before. I had to go through this traumatic life experience so that I can write about it, share my story, and help other people heal, essentially. Help other people realize that there is a way to recover from life's challenges. There are solutions, and empower people to take back their life.
Oh yeah, so that they can
live. So they can live a life, you know, that they meant to have and intended.
That's really a wonderful goal. I wanted to ask you. You wrote about that you discovered tumors in your breast and underarm last year, and that you wanted to share this experience so people can learn this, protect themselves from harmful radiation and EMF, electromagnetic field, from cell phones and laptops. So tell us a little bit about that. That's very interesting.
Okay, sure. It was about a year and a half ago. I was working on the computer for 12 to 14 hours per day, that's from home. And I was in the shower one day. I felt a lump in my breast, and then I began to examine other areas of my anatomy and discovered the second tumor under my arm. It was an alarming moment. And I was so perplexed because I live a pretty healthy lifestyle. So I thought, you know, I was vegan then, I'm a vegetarian now. I only buy organic fruits and vegetables, so I'm pretty conscious about chemicals too and do my best to avoid them.
Right.
So, so I soon realized that that wasn't enough. You know, there had to be more, but I couldn't figure out at that moment. During that time, I hadn't fully taken into consideration that living in a, I live in at the center of Los Angeles, and there is a lot going on in this crowded, hectic city.
Sure.
So I got the biopsy done, and the test came back benign, thank God, but I was still stressed about it because it was abnormal. And, I knew that there was something within me that's out of balance, and also afraid that it might grow bigger. So the doctors offered to remove it surgically, but I declined because I knew that I could heal myself. I was determined and knew that I could do it naturally without the use of medications or invasive procedures. So, during a very stressful time, I decided to take a much-needed retreat to a wine country. So during this trip, I decided to go on an all-fruit diet to alkalize my body and flush out the tumors. So I ate mangoes and blueberry smoothies. That's really all that I had for that 7 day, and I meditated in the morning about 30 minutes a day, and during this time I was without my laptop and I was mostly away from my cell phones as well. When I got home on the 7th day, the tumor reduced to half the size. I was happy, but it didn't last. So the tumors came back, even though I went back on my fruit diet and, I went back to my regular routines and long hours working on the computer. And so I couldn't figure out why it was coming back. And a couple months later, I decided to join you, Ted, at Mount Shasta.
Oh, okay, good. I'm so happy I did.
Yeah. So this was last year, and, it was such a beautiful place, and I enjoyed it immensely. And so, at this trip, I wasn't on any of electronic devices at all because, we were so busy, and I was enjoying the nature and my company, of course. And,
right.
And so when I got home on the 8th day from Mount Shasta, the tumors were nearly gone, and I was so amazed. But again, it was short-lived because I went back to my normal routines, the computer and all that, right? And so I later connected the dots that it had to be my computer. So I got the building biologist, right? So I got the building biologist out to test my place, and he confirmed that I was being hit by a high level of radiation and EMF from my laptop. So I had him So I had my computer hardwired, which was great, but my house still, I still have wireless Wi-Fi at my house, so the problem still remains, but at least I'm not getting the direct contact with the radiation from the computer. I think that, while I was in nature without the interruptions of electronic devices, my body began to heal itself naturally because I had allowed it. Ted?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still listening.
Okay. Sorry, I thought
I'm here. That's okay.
So I had allowed my body's frequency be in resonance with the natural elements of life in Mount Shasta. And since life essentials are missing in the big city, I had to figure out a way to protect myself against the harmful electronic devices. So I was determined in my quest and spent months researching and educating myself on microwave radiation, emitting from personal cell phones and computers. And also took into consideration that the importance and the dependency of our modern society to our instruments, and I decided to create a protective clothing line for men and women. And Silver Star is the name that the Guardians wanted me to use for this line. Mm-hmm. And so when I tested for the reduction rate on the garments, the test results were pretty impressive.
Wow. So, I'm so glad. Wow, what a service you're giving to people. Well, how do people get a hold of you to maybe get your clothing or get your, you know, get some help on getting some clothes to protect people against the radiation?
Well, I haven't launched yet. I have a lot of samples, pieces made, but I haven't technically launched yet. So hopefully, hopefully maybe sometime this year I could get it up and going. They could send me an email.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be fine. Just would you mind giving up your contact information so people could reach you?
Sure. My email is jl@silverstar.life.
Okay, what is it again? I missed the first part.
Oh, okay. It's JL, my initials, @ silverstar.life, L-I-F-E.
Silverstar.light. All right.
Life, L-I-F-E, life.
At life. Okay, dot life. Okay, great. Well, Jenny, we've got a few minutes left. It's been so good to have you on my show today. I'd love to have you wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Of course. Well, I just want to say thank you, Ted, so much for the opportunity, and I wish you a very happy vacation.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. It'll be working vacation. But anyway, when you get your book published and you get your clothing line out, let me know so we can have you back on again. But thank you so much for your efforts in trying to raise consciousness to make this planet a better place. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, okay. Thank you again, Ted, so much for this opportunity. It means a lot.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Jenny. I hope you have a wonderful and happy day.
Okay, thank you. You as well. Take care.
Alrighty. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye, Jenny. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for coming on. Friends, to wrap up this this beautiful hour, I brought my friends back again, Conrad and Michiko. We're sitting we're in this beautiful little town called Dorfen outside Munich today in Germany. It's a beautiful summer day. Conrad, how are you doing today?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. And Michiko?
Oh, I'm doing good. Thank you. Very happy and grateful to be here in Dorfen, Germany with Conrad. Thank you.
And I'm happy to meet you both. Really,
you
are great guys.
Thank you.
Well, we've got about 6 or 7 minutes left in our show today, and I wanted to go over a couple important things that we weren't able to go over in the earlier hour. The first off is that I think we're doing something right, because Nostradamus had written about a third world war happening by 2005 in the United States, Germany, and other countries around the world. That was with Dolores Cannon in her books called Conversations with Nostradamus back in the late 80s. But since that time, Nostradamus has told me that the timelines have changed and we are on a new path toward a beautiful, bright future, and there's not going to be any third world war. And that's because because of your work, Conrad, and because of your work, Michiko, with the Emoto Peace Project, and myself, we've all made the right choices to make this planet a better place. And if we hadn't made, and all of us listening today, I know our light workers wanting to make this Earth a better place, but if we hadn't made those better choices to make the planet a better place, by now, Nostradamus has told me that we would be engulfed in a third world war, and basically have to start over again. But we don't need to go there, because that timeline has changed, and I want to thank you so much, both of you, for your beautiful work.
Yeah, really, and I really got touched by the work of Dr. Emoto, and it was a very, very important work, mm-hmm. because it shows how we affect not only the water, how we affect ourselves, mm-hmm. how we affect the whole earth. If we, he showed it really by the water.
Mm-hmm.
And Michikon can tell a few things, how did it work?
Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, Dr. Emoto took so many pictures of crystals. We have more than 200,000 water crystal pictures. And what he discovered and what he shows in the book of Message from Water is that when we are powerful being of energy beings, because when we show the word, positive word, like you're beautiful, that creates beautiful, beautiful crystal from that word, you are beautiful. Whereas when we show the negative word, like I hate you, then water just cannot form crystal at all. It's a disaster. That means knowing that we ourselves are 70-80% water, that means we are the container. Each person is a container of water. And that's what is happening within us and around us, because there's water in the air also. So that was something powerful message that Dr. Emoto shared with everyone, that we can learn. Each person can learn from that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And words are powerful, aren't they? Words have power and effect, so you have to be careful with your words. And thoughts are powerful things, too. In the fifth dimension, I'd learned years ago that thoughts are things in the higher dimensions.
Yeah, completely, completely. Right. And I really, Dr. Emoto died too young. He left too early.
Right.
And it is, his work is very important. He was in every country. I don't know how many...
I think
in how many languages are the books translated?
It was translated into 45 languages.
45 languages.
And it went all around the world, over 70 countries. So I'm so happy that so many people got to learn this message from water. Thanks to you, Conrad, for sharing this. He even made Dr. Emoto's books just for German country also. And that from Germany, it started to go to spread in other countries also. So what Conrad did for Dr. Emoto, along with Dr. Emoto, was such a big, important work he did.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. but if you like that small film, mm-hmm. you can share with friends, you can talk with friends. Sure. I think it is important that really we make our next step having mm-hmm. more peace, more responsibility about ourselves, about the nature. Really make a better world.
Wow, wow, wonderful. Conrad, before I forget, we've only got about 2 minutes left. What is your website or a way people could reach you for your beautiful books?
www.koha-verlig.de.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, before I forget. And Michiko, your web address?
The Peace Project is very important. Really support the Peace Project from Dr. Emoto.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Emoto Peace Project's website is www.emoto.peaceproject.net.
Okay, well, thank you so much, both of you, for coming on my show today. This is Ted. I'm broadcasting today live from a little town outside of Munich, Germany. It's a beautiful summer day here. I'll be going to Reykjavik, Iceland. We'll be going to Reykjavik, Iceland this weekend to give presentations. If you're interested, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. Michiko also will be giving presentations there as well. And then next week, we'll be going to Mount Shasta. If you'd like to go to Mount Shasta, please send me an email to outoftheworld1150@gmail.com. I hope you all listening today have a beautiful and happy day, and thank you again for supporting and listening to Out of This World Radio. Bye-bye, everyone.
人の